This is Barbara Glickstein, and you're tuned into Health Styles, brought to you by the Center for Health Media and Policy at Hunter College. You can find out more about the center at centerforhealthmediapolicy.com. My guest today is Stephanie Hope. Ms. Hope is a board-certified nurse coach working to foster holistic health in the New Haven, Connecticut community by seeing both individuals and groups, providing wellness coaching. In addition, she is a hospice nurse and has been working as a hospice nurse, so we'll be talking both about what is an integrative nurse coach, the kind of practice that she does, as well as how this is integrated into her work with serving those people who are dying and their families. Welcome to Health Style, Stephanie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I also want to let our listeners know right up front that you can find out a lot about Stephanie and the kinds of coaching that she does at her site, which is called hopeholistic.com. And I'll repeat that throughout the programming, because it's not only a visually beautiful site, compliments to you and your artistic creation of that, Stephanie, but it's also filled with a tremendous amount of information for you to learn more about integrative nurse coaching, as well as Stephanie Hope's practice, my guest today. Stephanie, I know that it's a very important distinction, and if we can, let's speak first about what is integrative nurse coaching, and then why it's different from coaching in general, and why being a nurse and having become certified as an integrative nurse coach places you in a different category from general coaching.
Okay. So integrative nurse coaching is wellness, health and wellness coaching. And a nurse coach can work with a variety of individuals or in the group setting. And it could be working with anybody who has a health goal. And it could be a very concrete goal, like, well, I just went to my doctor and my numbers aren't good and I need to lose 20 pounds. Can you help me with that? Or it could be something a little more intangible, like, I want to have more joy in my life. I want to remember what gives me meaning. Or I want to learn how to manage stress and meditate. So it really runs the gamut, and it's holistic. So physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And a nurse coach brings with her to the coaching practice all of her experience and education as a nurse. So all the experience at the bedside, working with patients and families during times of health, times of disease, times of crisis, and also all the education in anatomy and pathophysiology and the healthcare system. So a nurse is really uniquely positioned to help somebody who has serious healthcare issues because she can speak that language. But an integrative nurse coach builds on the skills that all nurses already have in active listening and therapeutic communication in a more specific, specifically trained way to be able to address the person as a whole person, embedded in their environment, and how to create health for a person, not just how to treat a disease.
So let's go to one of your examples that was the person or the woman who came to you, perhaps, who just came back from their healthcare provider visit and was told that they look as though if they stay on this track, they're in a pre-diabetic or potentially at risk for developing diabetes. Mm-hmm. So the weight issue, as well as the numerical data from a blood workup, gives one part of the picture.
Right.
Take us a few minutes into a nurse integrative coach assessment that highlights what you've so beautifully articulated as the difference in having a nurse who's been educated, trained, and now certified as a coach would feel like for our listeners, so they have an example.
Sure. So I start all my sessions with a centering practice, so that might take a few minutes for me and the client to do either like a breath-based meditation or a little imagery, which is really significant because we're centering in the present moment, and that is where the real gems come out of what is actually underlying the story, like the story underneath the story.
And that might be for someone the first time they've ever had that kind of experience, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's especially with somebody regarding their health, because people are often used to going to a health provider and having very little time, and both parties trying to cram in as much information as they can into a short amount of time. So this is very different right from the beginning.
They usually will go with you on that? It takes a little practice? Yeah.
Absolutely. I've had people who are experienced in meditation or people who have never done it before, but I think everybody feels good after just taking a minute to be present. I mean, you don't have to have a spiritual practice to know what that means, you know, just being present in the moment and taking your time to honor that.
All right, so you've brought us to that place of presence and honoring the intention, I guess, is how we can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what makes this also, then what happens?
So then, I mean, what brings the person to coaching is important because I think really the only key ingredient for successful coaching is that the individual has a goal, because they have to want to make a change, or even they might not need to have a goal, but they might need to know that something's not right. So if they have that willingness, we start where they are. So in this example, the numbers and the directives from the healthcare provider might have been the thing that kind of woke the person up that, wow, they really want to start doing something about this now. So we might start talking about that. But I always want to shift to what kind of a quality of life perspective. So, you know, the numbers can be one thing, but I always want to elicit from the person, what is your vision of health? And what would that look and feel like? And I like to do that from the very beginning of our relationship. So for this individual, it might be, I feel vibrant in my body. I don't feel tired. I don't feel symptoms of disease. I feel active. I don't feel heavy. And so eliciting that vision, like I had a patient or a client recently that she came in wanting to lose weight, but it wasn't really the weight loss. It was she wanted to get back to a former version of herself because she used to be very active. So in the first session, we talked about what that felt like, and you know, made her tearful even to remember like the strength and the vitality that she used to have. So we used that as kind of a cornerstone of a vision to move forward on.
Nice. It reminds me of a practice that I've experienced called an appreciative inquiry, where you go to that place, like this woman you just described, who remembered what it felt like to be vibrant and active in her body, and her focus wasn't on her numbers of scale, on the scale of weight and pounds, but on on remembering, as opposed to missing, what it felt like to feel her body in that way. And that's a nice place to be able to then think about how to get there, isn't it?
Right. I think the numbers are good. It's great to have specific measurements, and that's kind of what we work on towards the end of each session, is goals with specific outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers can show us where we are, but they're never going to provide the inspiration, and it's not really what anybody wants out of life, is to have the proper number on the scale or when they visit their doctor. There's more they want, which is a feeling of vibrancy, health, or or good coping with what they with the struggles that they do have.
So you've already established in two of the approaches that you're describing to our listeners. My guest is Stephanie Hope. She is a board-certified nurse coach working with individuals and groups on wellness coaching and also a hospice nurse. We're talking about what makes an integrative nurse coach in terms of her education, training, and expertise, as well as the approach. So you told us you started with a centering exercise of 3 to 5 minutes. And then you're asking someone something that I think also in most healthcare encounters doesn't get done, which is, what do you want to feel? Again, an exploration that really touches us in a different way than how are you currently feeling and why do you want to, change it? So already your explanation is shining a light on a direction into health and well-being that's quite different. So, and I'm sure that people feel that as they're having this conversation with you. Mm-hmm. So this woman who's asked how she would like to feel is remembering what it felt like, and then the work is, how do we get back to that feeling state?
Right, right. So, the first step is to create a picture for what would feel good, because we're really motivated best working towards something that makes us feel whole and healthy and vibrant, rather than feeling like we have to do something because we're not doing it right now. Mm. So once we have that picture, then we can explore obstacles, explore what has worked in the past, what hasn't worked, and also then ground that vision into everyday life. So getting really specific, like if maybe I discuss with a patient or I discuss with a client that they want to do, they want to be less stressed, and we talk about certain meditation or visualization techniques or a variety of stress management techniques. I talk about, when might you do this? In the morning, when you wake up, in that bed before you go to sleep, is there a place in your home that's quiet? Is there something that you can place in that place to remind you of what you want to do there? Do you have to set aside a time? Is there somebody who can watch the kids for a half an hour in the evening? Really getting down to the details of how this might play out in an individual's life. And so I have to learn a lot about their life, because it's not, this is all a custom fit. So taking that grand vision, but really working it down into the very mundane details.
Which is where we often make our changes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One time I was with someone who, actually, the situation I can tell you personally was when my kids were at separate times. My firstborn was thinking about college, and this person said to her, "Well, how have you already made decisions up into being 17 years old? What ways have you made those decisions?" Mm-hmm. And coming from that direction, which felt like a coaching question to me. Mm-hmm. I heard things come out of her mouth about how she had made decisions that was the gem of the reason why she went to talk to this person. And so I think when you say looking at the details, when we don't take this huge approach to trying to figure out how we can approach something really important to us, like our health and well-being and fullness of life, and we see it in that smaller detail, it does feel more manageable about so many things in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you mentioned some of the practices that you've incorporated with your years of experience, one of them having to be meditation, clinical imagery, breath exercises. Uh-huh. What other practices do you bring to your work, Stephanie? I know you're also an artist and a musician.
Oh, Uh-huh, absolutely. I work with, well, I'll tell you a little bit about the group that I run, which is very close to my heart, which is called Artemis Collective. It's a women's group that I do once a week. So it is a coaching group in a way, but it doesn't look or feel like it doesn't feel clinical at all.
Mm.
So I start each week. I set up the space and I take time to energetically clean the space and set up an altar where I use flowers and like a mandala shape and the four directions, honoring the four directions and the four elements. And then women come and gather, and I start off the session with a crystal bowl, which offers a very pure vibration, so it's that sound vibration and sound healing, which I bring into my work, which can be very provocative on a deep level to people. And so we start with that centering practice and then pass a feather around the circle, and each person can choose what they want to talk about. I have a blog that I write each week with a suggestion for reflection. The person who comes brings whatever is present for them. And so as they're speaking, the others in the group are practicing, listening, and it's really amazing how much you can get from somebody else's experience. And then we close the circle with another sound meditation with a chime.
Nice.
So I bring those techniques also to my individual clients, of being mindful of their energetic experience, also, not just a mental and emotional, but energetic. So using tools like scents and aromas, sound, metaphors, special objects that you can use in your daily life to change your energy. And sometimes this is a little bit more of a intuitive process. So it's not something that necessarily you know X plus Y equals Z, but you might know that using sage to clear when you come home from work makes you feel lighter afterwards. Mm. And so you incorporate that into your daily practice. So I'm encouraging of people to find what tools work for them.
Nice. And this is one weekly group that you run, and mm-hmm. you clearly have described an aesthetic beauty and also beauty defined by traditions of ancient healing practices, mm-hmm. the world of the elements, the world of the four directions. Mm-hmm. So your practice comes from informed healing practices of many centuries as well as many peoples. And how does that feel as a integrative nurse coach for you? How does that make you this globally informed ancient healer?
It's really empowering. I came to nursing knowing that I wanted to do something non-traditional, that maybe I would spend some time in a traditional like med-surg setting, but knowing that I wanted to do maybe psych nursing is what I thought.
Yes, yes.
But I think nurse coaching allows me actually to be, is even a better fit for me because I feel like it's truly holistic. So to me, integrative nurse coaching allows nurses to remember like some of the foundations of nursing and our great guiding light, Florence Nightingale, you know, has articulated a lot of that, and take up the title of healer, and so that you can be a nurse, you can be a coach, and you can be a healer also, and embrace the healing traditions. Like you said, there's millennia of traditions and practices to draw from. And I'm so grateful to all the people who have kept those traditions for us. And now is a wonderful time that it seems like there's more interest into bringing that into people's view of their health.
Yes, I have had the privilege to ask students of nursing, many of them in this one course that I taught, to bring in something on the first day that was reflective of their heritage, and left it just at that. And it was just a beautiful way of each one of us introducing ourselves to the new community that was forming in this class, and what people brought in that represented their ancestors and continued practice, whether it was an herb, a book, a wooden spoon that had been given to them by their grandmother this is what she used to make the rice kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I can sense that you two encourage and support each person to rest on the history of our ancestors who have healed or who have contributed to our well-being, our knowledge, our ability to be resilient and remember all of that. I think it's a good reminder, and I'm glad that you brought it up today as we've been talking about health and well-being and the way that we learn so much from each other, and we need to also look around and look back in our own families' traditions, whether it's the soup that was made when the children had a cold or the special blanket that came out of the closet and toys when we were children and home from school not feeling well. All of those things really do contribute to our health and well-being.
Right. I think to somebody who's maybe new to looking at their health holistically, it can be intimidating because you might be looking towards a certain image that you're unfamiliar with. Oh, well, I'm not a monk. I don't meditate. I don't practice yoga, but everybody has those healing traditions in their family. And that's a wonderful reminder of that you can just look into your own history to find what's meaningful to you.
You bring all of this very deep and very knowledgeable practice as an integrative board-certified nurse coach to your work as a hospice nurse. Tell us about that work, and now with your deepening in practice as an integrative nurse coach, how that has informed your work as a hospice nurse.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I started off my nursing career in oncology, in inpatient oncology, and I stayed there for about a year and a half, and I learned so much, but I knew that it wasn't really the place for me to stay because I wanted to be somewhere where I could work with people from a more holistic perspective. And I feel like when it comes to inpatient care, that your choices, the main areas where we already do work with people holistically is birth and death. And I knew I had somewhat of an inclination towards working with people at end of life, and I know not many people do, so I figured maybe I should explore that and decided to go into hospice. And I work at a wonderful facility, inpatient facility, where it is much more holistically focused. We work with the patient and the family as a unit, and a lot of the work that we do is with the family, walking alongside them on their journey, helping them to figure out where they are and what they understand and what they might need to do to deepen their understanding of what's happening. And it's a great environment. It's a beautiful environment on the water, and patients can go outside when it's warm out. There's music therapy and art therapy and pastoral care and volunteers, tons of volunteers on the floor all day, every day. So it's a healing environment for the patients and also for the staff. When I'm working and I hear somebody playing guitar in the hallway, it lightens my day a little bit, and that is also translated to the vibe that I'm giving off to my coworkers and patients and families. So I'm really feel fortunate to work in a place like that. And so as a hospice nurse, you're focusing a lot on kind of the primary nursing care, comfort care. You go back to some of the basics of positioning and cleaning patients and offering them dignity of fresh sheets like twice a day, and all the little things, making sure people have water or ice chips, understanding what foods they can eat, what they want to eat, and trying to get them what we can to like personalize their time. And so I really enjoy all of that work. Of course, it can be challenging. It can be stressful. It's still an inpatient facility where there's a lot going on and a lot is required of you as a nurse. But a huge part of that is self-care and learning how to be present even when there's so much going on, mm-hmm. even when you're irritated, still being able to stop and take a breath so that you can be aware of what's coming, what situations are important, and in the hospice, it's emotional situations are just as important as medical situations sometimes. So is there a family member that really needs somebody to talk to right now? Making sure that I'm doing all the self-care so I can be sensitive to that. Hmm.
We have just a couple of moments left, and I feel like we're swinging back to the beginning of the segment. My guest, Stephanie Hope, is an integrative nurse coach and hospice nurse. And when you introduce the ways that you practice as now an integrative nurse coach, you talked about both centering first and then asking the question of what one feels and where does one want to be. How do those questions work, or how do those two approaches work when working with someone who's dying?
The centering is happens throughout the day as a hospice nurse. Especially sometimes you're working with patients who are nonverbal, but your energy so your energy is even more important, and the centering and the presence. Maybe you can make eye contact with that person in a meaningful way, or maybe it's just the way, even the way that you administer meds or the way that you provide caring touch at the bedside. And that's something that's ongoing. I think working as a coach has kind of humbled me a little bit in my practice and made me reflect a little bit more on the on that caring presence and doing the self-care to maintain it. And then the gift that coaching has provided me for hospice care is asking open-ended questions. So taking the patient's lead and asking them what is your hope for today? Or asking the family, how are you coping with all of this? And I noticed that I had a tendency before to try to ask closed-ended questions like, or statements like, you know, it's very natural to feel the way you do. That's a therapeutic statement, but it's closed. Whereas, how are you coping? That's open. So learning how to keep opening the doors for communication.
Well, Stephanie Hope, thank you so much for joining me today on Health Styles and sharing your work, your approach to health and well-being along a spectrum that all of us experience, both whether we're feeling physically well and emotionally in need, whether we're in a place where perhaps complete recovery and life will not be long as we knew it or hoped, and that in every point along that continuum of life, your work as an integrative nurse coach both touches and makes such a difference. So I want to thank you for sharing this approach with our listeners today on Health Styles. Remind folks that they can learn a lot more, including, which I'm going to do, is go back and read some more of those blog posts. And that's on Hope, H-O-P-E, Holistic, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C.com. That's Hope, holistic.com. My guest today was Stephanie Hope, who is a board-certified nurse coach. She works to foster holistic health in the New Haven community through individual and group wellness coaching, and she brings all of those skills to her practice as a hospice nurse. Thank you for joining me today on Health Styles.
Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for your thoughtful questions.
Be well.